Today I'll be reading Romans 8:14-16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are all children of God.
Good morning, church family. It is good to see you all this morning. It's always a blessing and privilege to be here with you. And one of the things that I always try to do as I preach is to think about the idea of an encouragement to you. So I want to open with this statement. You cannot claim what you do not know. When we think about the Holy Spirit, there are so many different things that have taken place through the years as far as our brotherhood is concerned. And I don't want you to worry because I just want to share with you what Scripture has to say this morning regarding the work of the Holy Spirit today. I launched out on a study because it seems like every generation has a new perspective. And part of it maybe is out of a void, out of the past generation. Part of it might be that they find new truths in regard to God's Word that we have avoided in the times in the past. And so I just want to share this lesson with you in order that you can claim what you know. I want to begin by looking at Ephesians chapter 3, and I have on the PowerPoint actually just a few verses, but I want to read the entire context that's here. What Paul is doing is actually offering a prayer, and he's praying for the church at Ephesus, and this is what he says. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want you to think about this passage. And I want you to think about the idea of what Paul is saying here and what Paul expresses to every member of the church at Ephesus. Paul's prayer is for all the members. He also says that he might be strengthened with power. I don't know whether you've ever been at a point within your life that you just feel like you have nothing more to give. Or you feel like everything has been drained out of you. Paul's prayer is that you might be strengthened with power, and that power was from the Holy Spirit within them. My lesson this morning isn't to try to divide this idea of the Spirit dwelling within us. But this passage speaks to the idea that the Holy Spirit is within them. And it also speaks to the idea that power is far beyond what we can speak or that our minds can think of. I think sometimes we We feel as though we have to figure everything out before we can grasp a hold of it. I believe that God left that out of the idea of what happens with the Holy Spirit in order that we might trust what He does say to us. And so I want us to claim what we know in regard to the Spirit within our lives. And so one of the things that I want to share with you is the idea that the Holy Spirit gives us that assurance that we are children of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." I think a lot of times we think about the idea that just understand that Jesus is the one who presented to us the idea that God is our Father. But it is the Spirit that Scripture says, Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, is the Spirit by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, I don't know how all that works. I just know what Scripture says. And the Spirit that is within us tells us that we can trust God, that we can trust Him as a Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God." I want you to think about the idea of the details and what we deduct from this passage of Scripture. We do not have to doubt or fear. We don't have to doubt or fear that we are children of God. If we've been baptized into Jesus Christ, repented of our sins, and placed Him as our Lord and Savior, we understand that God has given us His Spirit. We are born of the water and the Spirit, having the mark of sonship, the Holy Spirit, which we have, as Ephesians speaks about, with the idea that it is a sign of our relationship with Him. Let me speak just a minute to the idea that we don't have to doubt or fear. Too many times I have sat beside a loved one, a member of the Lord's church, who are facing the final hours and sometimes the final minutes of their lives. And I hear the expression, "I hope I've done enough." Brothers and sisters, it's not what we have done, it is what God has done through Jesus Christ. And it is the fact that God has given His Spirit into us in order that we might not have to doubt or fear our destiny. We might not have to doubt or fear even today or tomorrow. But the strength, Paul says, "I pray that you understand the power that God has given to you, which comes through the Spirit." Our hope and trust is in our Heavenly Father. Our hope and trust is what Jesus Christ has done through the resurrection. We have assurance that God loves us, that He hears us, that He cares about us by the Spirit that He has given to us. The Spirit that indwells us. It is also the idea, it is not what we feel or by what we experience that we have had, but by the truth that God has revealed. I hear too many people speak about the idea, "Well, I just feel this." Brothers and sisters, it's what God has proclaimed. It is what He has proclaimed that he has given us a spirit in order that we might have power to live life. All of us at some time are going to feel that we're not worthy. All of us at some time are going to feel as though the whole world is caving upon us, and we feel as though we wonder where God is. Brothers and sisters, God is there. He gave his spirit to live in you and to dwell in you in order that you might have power to overcome those things. Assurance is not based upon what we feel today. It is based upon what we know, believe, and practice. 1 John will speak to the idea of keeping his commandments. It says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his commandments or his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. A little bit later on in regard to 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, and the one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given to us. We know that we abide in him and he in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Can you see it? When you look in the mirror, can you see it? Sometimes what we see in the mirror is somebody who is struggling. Well, welcome to life. Welcome to this battle of existing, this battle between the spiritual and the fleshly, the spiritual and the world. But we can know that he abides in us and us in him by the Spirit that he has given to us. Can I tell you, I can't fully understand that, but I can accept it. I can accept it. And I can claim it. But I have to. I have to realize that in those times in which fear overpowers me, in which doubts come into my life, that I can claim that I am a child of God. I can claim that I have assurance. And I can claim that he is mine. Secondly, by the Spirit, we have helped to live moral and godly lives. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Paul relates here the idea of what we are to understand. He also reveals in Romans chapter 8, and I don't have time to do the breakthrough through Romans chapter 8, but you might want to jot this down, go back this afternoon, and read that chapter and understand what he's talking about. The Spirit gives the Christian an advantage. Now, I want to say to you, you got to claim it. You have to claim the advantage. But the Spirit gives us an advantage. The Spirit dwells in you. We mind the things of the Spirit, Paul will say. We walk by the Spirit. We receive life by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We put to death the flesh of the Spirit. Those things, all of those things are pronounced by Paul in Romans chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape. Not was, all right? A way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. I would submit to you in my thought that part of that way of escape is provided by the Spirit himself. It deals with what we know and deals with our conscience in regard to our lives. Perhaps part of the help that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 3 is described as greater than what we can possibly ask or think. You ever been down? You ever been at a low? Has somehow or another the thought come through your mind, I ought to be better than this, or I ought to be able to get out of this myself? Well, the trouble is we're trusting in ourselves. We trust in ourselves way too much, and instead of depending upon God, instead of trusting God, who provides the way of escape of whatever happens to us and comes into us. By the grace of God, the example of Jesus, and the help of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome temptation. We can overcome what we face within our lives. I have to be honest with you and tell you that there's been times in which a spouse has come into my office and has admitted the idea that they're struggling with another person who has come into the marriage relationship, not the spouse. And I've heard this statement too many times. Well, God wouldn't bring this person into my life. Can you believe that? God wouldn't bring this person into my life if it wasn't supposed to happen that way. Are you kidding me? What happened to the vows? What happened to what we trusted in God before and made before God in regard to our vows? God will provide a way of escape. God will provide a way of escape. But do we claim it? Do we understand the prompting somehow or another that the Spirit is trying to bring into our lives? One more thought. The Holy Spirit is our providential help. Listen to what Romans chapter 8, and you realize that Romans chapter 8 comes up in this subject of the Spirit's help within our lives often. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 31 and 32. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Can I tell you that not everything that happens to us is of God? There's another influence in this world. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that there is a God of this world who has tremendous influence over this world. But this passage says, for the child of God, God works in our lives to work good into our lives. Does that mean all things will be good? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that all things will be good. But God will work good if we trust him to work good in regard to our lives. Think about the details and deductions. God continues to work in the world for our behalf and the benefit of his church. I've been through some things in regard to the church, and probably so have you, that it doesn't seem like everything's working to the benefit. I would say to you probably that we got in the way of God. We often get in the way of God. We oftentimes think about that our thoughts and our opinions are the best. I'm telling you, God is best. His word is best. And our strength is found through him. Paul's statement is made in the context of the Spirit's presence in the world. I want you to consider two passages out of Philippians, chapter 2 and chapter 4. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Chapter 4, 13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But do you remember where we started out in Ephesians chapter 3? Where does that power come from? Paul recognizes that the power comes through his Spirit. I believe there's so many things that happen in regard to our Christian lives that we think somehow or other we did it. That's a dangerous place to be. The reality is God did it. And he might have chosen us to through which the blessing came or the product came or the result came. But it is God who is working in our lives. It is the Spirit, even as creation itself, in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, that brings that about. And I can tell you, I'm not exactly sure how that happens. But I can trust God's word. And I can trust what God is doing in regard to my life and our lives. But we have to claim it. We have to claim what we know Scripture says to us. Now, it's kind of like Paul Harvey. You have to come back tonight to hear the rest of the story. Because I'm going to finish this lesson up tonight. As we gather together. Because there are more things that we ought to claim. There are more things that Scripture says to us that we ought to claim in regard to our lives. But they have to do with trusting God and what he is doing. Do I have to tell you God loves you? But you might be on the bottom of the bucket. You might feel as though you're on the down low. But if you are a child of God, he has invested a spirit, his spirit, in you, in order that you might have power to live life the way that he has called you to live. But we have to claim it. We have to trust it. And so if you're struggling this morning, welcome to the crowd. Welcome to life. If you're up on a high, just wait till tomorrow or next week. Because that's just the way life is. But I want you to trust what God's word has to say. You have power to overcome. You have power to do the things that God has called you to do. And you can trust Him. But I have to say to you, it won't come by drifting in a boat. It'll come by claiming it. By claiming what you know God has said in His Word. So come back tonight and we'll finish the rest of the story. This morning, if you're here struggling in any way, or this morning, perhaps this is the morning that you have declared that you want to repent in regard to your sins, to trust in the Lord, to be buried with Him in the water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, we will be happy to assist you in that. Won't you come as we stand and sing?